Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth.
Hey.
Any situation that you face can be talked through.
No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all.
Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall.
Heavy load up on your shoulders,
trying hard not to fall.
Situation after situation,
throwing curveballs.
Got you worried about your job,
a word about your kids,
a word about the things
people said or what they did.
Your husband ain't doing right,
or maybe it's your wife,
'cause they let the devil step in
and creep up in your life.
Hey,
L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out,
please,
'cause we all in desperate need
and need to learn to plant our seed.
We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal,
and all we need to learn to do
is spread our wings like eagles.
Now, let's talk truth,
let's talk truth,
let's talk truth.
Lord, sit down to talk truth,
but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Tune in and let's talk truth.
Hey,
let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Straight from me to you.
Hey,
no need to worry, there's a brighter day. Just live your life no matter what they say. Let's talk truth so you can understand. Why knowledge is power and it's on the man.
Good evening, everyone. We're here again on the Let's Talk Truth Blog Talk Radio Show, and we're just so grateful and thankful that you all have joined us today. I want to welcome our co-host, Kay DeWitt. I want to welcome Barb to the show. And for those of you that's here in the studio, Courtney and Shannon, I want to thank you guys for being here and being available. Today we're talking about anger. Anger masks pain. And if you would ask anybody in today's society, they will agree that we're living in a world, an angry world. And either everyone is angry or they're quick to anger. And this is why everything is so offensive. Everything offends everyone, so they're angry about it. Now, our youth are angry and rebellious. And should they live to become adults, they will just be angry and rebellious adults. So tonight we are going to explore that dialogue, that anger in the heart of man is directly related to the pain which that heart has been exposed to. Anger is such a powerful weapon, and it's used by our adversary to make sure people don't ever experience God's kingdom where there's peace and joy. We are never going to experience peace and joy if we continue to be angry. We're also going to try and explore some of the different ways in which a person can change the pain in your life that will replace the anger that that pain has generated. So with that said, I just want to welcome you guys to the show, Anger Masks Pain, and I want to kind of bring you up just a little bit on last week, and I believe Barb can shed more light on this than anyone. Because we're talking about the different tools that's available out there. People think if you're saying, God, thank you, Jesus, but everything belongs to God. Any words that we speak, and God can take those words and make them bless us in our hearts. So I believe Barb can shine a light on. We were talking about when we closed out last week about this. I believe it's a movie called The Shack. And I believe she can shed some light on that, about how that particular movie helped, or book, if it was a movie or a book, how it helped someone. And I'm going to let her shed some light on that when she comes on board and get ready to speak. It's just a number of things we're so faced right here in Texas. We had this mass shooting where there are like 26 people dead because a gunman went inside of a church.
Oh, come on.
And went inside of a church and killed all those people. Now, you would have to be angry or really something wrong to go inside of the household of faith and kill people. And, you know, a person that's driven to that point, I'm sure there was something that cried out to him before he did that or cried out within him. I just don't believe people wake up that morning and say, I'm going to go do this. It's a process, I believe. Now, you guys don't have, no one has to agree with me that's listening. You know, you're very well welcome to give us your take on the situation. But I believe that God put us as Christians in a place to see the signs of a person that's about to go overboard. But what I think, the church is so busy doing something else, it's not paying attention. So with that said, I'm going to yield the floor, and Kay, Barb, either one of you want to come on board and just give us your take on what we're talking about, how anger masks pain.
Do you want the book the Shaq mentioned now or later?
Oh, you can do it whenever the Lord leads you to.
Well, since we mentioned the Shaq,
mm-hmm.
I would like to make a little testimony on it's out in both the book and the
mm-hmm.
movie.
Okay.
It's been considered controversial by certain people, but I really don't think that's important to get into because I've gone over their arguments and I have found where they've severely neglected certain lines in the book which counter acts their claims. And the book is meant to be a book on healing. It's been listed as fiction, and whether the event really happened to the man or whether he dreamed it, the point is he got healed through his experience or his encounter with God, as God appeared in his dream, vision, or happening, when it really happened. Interestingly enough, I wrote a book on anger. It was called Help, I'm Angry, in 2012. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
it got into the pain issues and so on. But you have to be very careful when you teach or write something because God will have you walk it to the fullest extent.
Yes.
Without going into a lot of detail, I got very hurt this last December, and all these months have been, I probably have cried more tears than you can imagine. It says God collects our tears. Well, he must have gallon jugs up there for me, because the hurt didn't involve just rejection. And being blindsided, it involved a horrible kind of humiliation that I had experienced along with it. And here, I wrote the book on anger, and I know enough, and I've certainly taught it enough, to, instead of letting it go into the anger, keep it in the pain. And so I have been in pain these months. The alternative, until God heals you and takes you through the step, is you want to choose the pain or the anger. But I also
right.
know that the pain is a way of God speaking to us. We have pain only because something is out of order within our hearts
right.
or our lives. If you have an abscess, if you have a toothache, it's a pain. It's pain, and that's telling you you better go to a dentist because something needs to be fixed.
Right.
Pain is a warning signal. So if you have emotional pain, there's something in you that needs to be fixed. It's normal to have grief, but we cross about a line when the grief becomes more than what I call healthy grief, and mine had crossed the line. laying in bed for day after day, it's a good sign. But ironically, I happened to go, not knowing what this was going to be about tonight, I went to my book on every day I spend time alone with the Lord on this. I went to my teachings on anger, but I went to the book, The Shack, and I'm reading The Shack, and I'm feeling healing through it.
Wow.
Because I realize that with all my teaching, I really don't know deep down in my heart that, number one, God is a good God.
Wow.
That
yes, he is
with me all the time, that he loves me, that he defines who I am,
Amen.
Not another person's behavior towards
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
You think
exactly.
I would know this? Well, yes, we all know this intellectually. But the only time I believe it's effective healing where it becomes revelation is when you're in the pain. Because when you're in pain, you're living at a level of basic truth. I'm going to call it childhood truth. I'm going to call it infantile truth. I will still say that the loss of my identical twin at birth caused tremendous rejection in my personality. I don't know. There are no words for it. So that when I was abandoned, whatever you want to say happened to me in this relationship, it was just the same old story over again. Separation, anxiety, you know, all those things that a child would feel. I was really a child. And as I'm reading this book, he's angry at God, but the characters are portrayed with such love that it puts a personal note on God so that you find yourself in the character's place going into relationship with God, understanding, hey, you know, I wasn't alone when this happened. He was with me.
Amen.
I didn't know he was there because one of the things God's having me go through with this pain is called practicing the presence, learning all the time. Sometimes just saying the words, God, you're with me right now. God, you're here. I felt so abandoned. I have no family up here. So alone. And he's had to do further work on my identity because anger comes from pain that lies in some kind of insecurity.
Right.
Yes.
Rejection being identity. When you're loved and when you know who you are and that is truly down in your very being, you're not going to respond. You may have righteous anger.
Yes.
But you're not going to respond with the, shall I call it the insane kind of anger we saw this weekend with this fellow went crazy and shot up a church.
Amen.
The rage inside of him worked its way out in evil. So I would recommend someone to read this book where this man took a terrible, terrible loss, and all he could see was a cruel God, and use the book to work through their own feelings towards God, because at the basic level, we do not know that God is a good God, because if we did, we trust him. And if we trusted him, when bad things happen to us, the reaction will not be the same as when we don't have that foundation of knowing who we are and knowing that we're loved. So, and when I showed the movie, by the way, someone had an unforgiveness problem. And after seeing the movie where it shows that when you're not forgiving, you're putting yourself in the place of judge. She broke down and cried during the movie. Because she realized she was judging by her unforgiveness. And then when it came to her own children, she was told, now you have to judge your children because look, they've done this, they've done that. And when she said, when he cries, I can't judge my children. I can't do that. Let me take their place. Of course, he understood for the first time how Christ took our place, that he loved us so much that rather than bring down his wrath at that time, he mm-hmm. took our sin. What the book will do is it will move you more into relationship. And what's lacking in our lives, we may know the doctrine, but what's lacking in our lives, not only with God, with our mates and our children, is intimacy and relationship.
Amen.
And this is why we have an anger problem today.
Right. Amen.
You know what, Barb? You have said so much that can really bless the heart of a person if they're actually listening, if we will just actually listen. You have said so much, and I tell people all the time that our enemy catches us at our vulnerable moments, normally when we're young and we're without the knowledge of Christ. That's when he hits us. And he hits us at that point so that pain can be so excruciating that we don't know what to do with it. So your body, your flesh will automatically fight to stop, to keep from hurting. So it comes out in the form of anger. And if anger stays there, it festers. I don't know if you've ever had a splinter in your hand and it stays in there so long until it gets really irritated and sore to the touch. And it really feels bad. Well, that's the way something is that stays in you too long. And that's what happened to that young man who killed all those people. Mm. His anger had festered, and it became a sore inside of him. And whatever weapon you were talking about, that man that read the book or looked at the movie, The Shack, God will use anything that's available to you to bless you. You know, I don't know how people can discount something that will bring healing to a person, to your heart and to your mind. People just want to discount not what you're doing. They just want God to be of non-effect, and it's never going to happen. So, but you said so many things, and I can relate to a lot of things because the enemy hit me hard when I was young. When I was young, and I went through so much hurt and so much, and I can understand how you feel abandoned. You live in the city you're in. You don't have family there. Well, Barb, I have family where I am, but my family doesn't love me enough to share anything with me. I can only share what I go through with my children. And being in my position in Christ, there's certain things I can't share with them that affect me, because if I did, it would cause them to be in an angry mode, and I can't do that. So basically, I'm here by myself. And if it was not for the Lord, I know there's a song, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know what would happen. But what I want people to understand, and to gather from what you said, we have a responsibility to love our neighbors. We now know what it's like. We're in Christ now. We need to love people so that we can see those signs of anger. We know when that person is in pain.
Amen.
And we need to embrace them, put our arms around them and say, let me help you work through this pain.
Amen.
So that they will not get to the point where they want to harm somebody else, because that's just not the way to do. So you guys, come on, Kay. I know you have something you want to say too.
Well, I just want to put it, I'm very proud that my sister went ahead and showed this movie, despite, you know, the theologians who did not support it. And I know she would have loved for hundreds to come out, and was a little disappointed, you know, that the showing wasn't what she'd hoped to be. However, I know the woman who mm-hmm. was touched by this movie. She is my age, so she's in her 70s. She has been a Christian for many years. She's been in a number of churches. She's heard umpteen sermons, and yet it took this movie to heal her. We never know. I mean, if we look at the whole scene, it looks so discouraging. It's what's the use? But we never know that one soul that God may use us to reach might be another Devin Kelly. If somebody had reached Devin, think of all the lives that would have been saved. So we never know. And so that one soul that was healed by that movie, you know, wins our, it wasn't an, I don't like the word argument, but, you know, our point last week that even though it's not letter of the law, and of course this woman has been a Christian for years, she knew it didn't line up with Scripture, and yet that didn't get in the way of her receiving a healing. And even hearing my sister now say that upon replay of reading that book, she was healed. So there it is. I don't know how any theologian, whatever title he wears, can argue that. But I have read many things on the internet about this tragedy. I mean, I'm just devastated. I'm just so devastated by it. Just not words enough to express. And there are some notes that I made because I get so tired of the platitudes. And so I'm just going to read some of my notes, if I will.
Okay.
One was a Democratic senator who said, quote, "The shooter turned his gun on people, kids, in a place of worship. America is in the grips of a gun violence crisis. Congress must act." To which I say, no. Christians should say, "America is in the grips of an anger crisis. Christians must act." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's listen to, and this isn't against President Trump. It's the response, okay? It heads up Thoughts and Prayers, and it's not very long. This is the beginning of his speech. "Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families," Trump began. "We cannot put into words the grief and pain we all feel." But now listen to this. "But in dark times such as these, Christians do what they do best. We pull together. We join hands, we lock arms, and through the tears and through the sadness, we stand strong, oh, so strong," he continued. "My administration will provide its full support to the state of Texas and authorities." And then he says, "And we will never, ever leave their side, ever. All of America is praying." Now, immediately, okay, America stands strong. We've never been so disunited. Okay, 9/11, yeah, the Christians came together. It didn't last long, and that was true when there was a power outage in New York City. Now, on the heels of this, listen to what a gun advocate person said, talking about unity, coming together. "As quickly as thoughts and prayers poured out, so did frustration at that message, which gun control advocates view as a method of deflection, even as shootings grow more deadly. Sharon Watts, founder of Moms Demand Action, a group that demands gun restrictions, blasted Abbott," that's Governor Abbott, the governor of Southern, "and other defenders of gun rights." Now, and she noted, and this is going to be a biggie, and she noted the irony of invoking the power of prayer after a massacre at a church. She says, if thoughts and prayers alone prevented gun violence, we wouldn't be shot in a place of worship," she tweeted. Now, this is going to, for those who already have a problem with gun, Barb mentioned that on the poll, where is God, they're going to see this as a contradiction to Christ's love, to praying, and of course the gun control people jumped on that, but they just don't get it. First of all, God doesn't promise us, in this book, a pain-free existence. And we live in a fallen world, and sometimes we become victims of those who are under the influence of demonic power, as was this man. God doesn't promise to keep us safe all the time, but that doesn't negate His love and His good. People understand, you've got to understand His love from an eternal perspective, or it's right, as I've said a number of times. How can you find God's love? They didn't need this massacre to ask the question. Why not ask the question about the Newtown, Connecticut shooting? God is a God of love, and how could he allow that to happen? But that does not negate the fact of God's love. And these people are being a witness because they are gathering. And the one man who gathered for the vigil said, we are going to bring construction out of destruction. That man stands there despite the fact that his heart is breaking. And he thanks God for the beautiful creation and for the fact that they know Jesus Christ and that they are determined to bring light out of darkness. Therein is the witness of the reality of Christ, that even when your heart is breaking, that you can witness to him and know that he is the answer, and that this does not contradict the fact of his love. And even the father, you know, as you probably know, the pastor and his wife were away, but their 14-year-old daughter was shot. And when the father pastor was interviewed, he still said, "But you keep your focus on Jesus Christ."
Yes. You have to. You know, I don't understand, but, well, yes, I do understand. People want to be important. It doesn't matter what process, just as long as I feel important. Now, and I'm saying that because we're so quick to say, okay, let's take all the guns and bury them. Drop them in the ocean. There are no guns anywhere. Until we deal with the pain in the heart of mankind, what did the young man do that killed people not too long ago? He used a car. He didn't have a gun.
Right.
He ran over those people in a car.
Right.
So what are we going to do? Stop people from driving? Out of all of the things that when people kill other people, has nothing to do with their weapon of choice. You
right.
have to change the heart of a person in order to stop things like this. And until we put ourselves in a position where we are loving people, teaching people how to love, if you love somebody, you don't want to see them hurt. You wouldn't dare want to see them hurt, and you surely wouldn't go hurt them yourself. So we have these people that are in pain. I see it in little children. There was a little boy at the daycare up the street where my little grandbaby goes to school. Well, he thinks he's my grandbaby. He's 2 years old. One is three. Well, the little three-year-old walked in the classroom, and another three-year-old just fired him up beside the head.
Aww.
And the teacher said, "Oh, don't do that." And because I was standing there, because I had taken the little boy in the classroom, and because I was standing there, she says, "Oh, you have to look over him. He is so bad. My God."
Oh.
So I said, "No, he's not bad." And I asked her, I said, "Do you mind if I talk to him a minute?" And she said, "No, go ahead." So I called the little boy to me, and I said, "Hi, precious, how are you doing?" And he was like, you know, really shy. And I said, "Is that your friend right there?" Which I'm pointing to my little grandson. I said, is that your friend?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "But you hit him. Why would you hit your friend? Do you want to hurt him?" "No, ma'am." I said, "Do you think you could tell him you're sorry?" So he said, "I'm sorry." And I asked him, I said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he, you know, he started to relax. And I said, "I'm going to kiss you right here on your forehead." And I told him, I said, "You're such a powerful young man. I said, don't you think you need to start helping the teacher watch over these little kids in here?" And he was like, you know, people, you've got to give that angry person time to realize they're worth something.
Absolutely. That's it.
No, it has to start. I told the young lady, the sister works up there, my little grandbaby's mother. She works up there, and I told her, when you, the worst child in class, make him responsible for something. And I said, I don't care if you have to pin a paper bag on the door and make him responsible for picking up all the little trash that falls, but you got to make him feel important, like he's doing something. I said, and once you do that, I said, then tell him if he does a good job, he can show the other young boys how to do it and make him responsible for teaching them how to do something. But you've got to take it. I said, you don't know what that baby's going through at home.
That's right.
Because that's the only place you can learn to hit and punch like that. Somebody's got to be teaching you that. And we learned in church Sunday that your body will automatically know evil, but it has to be taught the good part. You have to be taught about God and his love and his goodness. Because you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and you come here knowing evil, you know. So it's just a matter of leaders getting in position to bless people and to show people how to. And one thing that I tell people when they get mad at somebody, oh, so-and-so did something to me. I said, whatever they did to you was all they knew how to do. They didn't know any better. If they knew better, they would do better. And I had to learn this the hard way. If I'm looking for love, I cannot expect someone without the benefit of Christ to love me. Because they don't even love themselves yet.
That's it.
So we've got to start teaching and stop expecting so much from other people. I don't expect people to automatically love me. I expect to love on them until they do.
Amen.
Yeah, but we've got to do something different. We've got to help people work past the pain that they're in. Because, you know, when you see somebody, I tell the young lady this, the children's mother, I said, you're so you're not accessible. I said, your face all the time, nobody wants to approach you because you always look angry. And so she's working on that. And I tell I always use her as an example, and she doesn't get offended by it because I let her know I love her, and I want you to have a pleasant look on your face every day. You know, don't frown everywhere you go because you'll miss a lot of blessings from God frowning all day long. And so we've just got to show people how to move past pain so that anger has no place to set up housing. You know, stop moving in anger because you're not going to set your couch in here. You're not going to put a table in here and your stove, and you're not going to cook and you're not going to make house here. And we have to show people how to move past that. Help people through their hurting. Okay, come on, somebody.
In this department, what I do is, especially when I did classes on this, I would tell people to take areas where they're angry, then go home. When they're alone, say, this was in a church, so these were people who did believe in the Lord. So we're going to take it there. The others, maybe I'll do it in a minute. I say, go home and ask the Lord, all right, Lord, I'm angry. Show me what the hidden message was in this situation that is causing me the pain. And let me get into the pain. Because when you get into the pain and you can verbalize the message that you received in that situation, like, I am no good, or a rejection of some sort, once you have verbalized what that area of pain is, only then can you bring it to the Lord, and then you're going to have to deal with a very big issue between you and God, and that is forgiveness. All anger carries judgment. If you were not judging someone, you would not be angry. And you people have to learn that we don't forgive for the other person. We forgive so that we can become healthy. Forgiveness mm-hmm. is never saying what they did was okay. When Jesus
right.
forgave and said, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do, he
mm-hmm.
wasn't excusing their behavior. Forgiveness is for me, not for the other person. And from that point on, when we see that area why we're hurting, we know that's the area that God wants to come into and begin
mm-hmm.
to give us security, identity, self-worth from him so that another person does not define us. We are allowing, when we get angry, the world or others, someone else to define us rather than God. That
mm-hmm.
is why he allows certain circumstances to come into our lives so that we can begin to be willing to go through the healing. But I have to tell you something.
Well.
The majority of people love their anger. This is what you're going to find out.
Yeah.
People, I'll tell you why. Anger gives a feeling of power. The more powerless you feel, the angrier you get, and when you feel angry, you feel power. It works that way. So anger gives this illusion of power. So you turn on the victim or someone who is more vulnerable, and you can spew. And you know what? Afterwards, although as a Christian, you often don't feel better. But to those who love their anger, they do feel more powerful. You have to. The hardest thing is for a person to say, I'm willing to give up my anger. But as a strong advocate for guns, can I just say something quickly about the gun issue?
Yes.
For those of you out there who think the answer is to take away guns, I want you to think about something. The way Hitler took over the countries and his country, Germany, is he took the guns out of the hands of the people.
Mm-hmm.
In this accident at the church, in this tragedy at the church, it was someone who was an NRA member who stopped the person from, he already killed 24 people, but it could have been more had not
yeah.
someone with a gun not stopped them. Mm-hmm. Also, if you take the guns away from the citizens, like I have a permit, like, you know, you're not going to ever be able to take it away from the criminals. It's like prohibition. There will always be an underground market.
Right.
You will, there are hundreds of thousands of guns out there now being owned by people who shouldn't have them. You will
That's
never
right.
find out about it. Many
mm-hmm.
of the guns are unregistered. They're hidden in homes. You try to take the guns away from the population of people who can help you. What you're doing is you are now making yourself vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
To the crooks who have the guns, but
mm-hmm.
also socialism and eventually dictatorship, because you will have no power against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, if someone wants to kill someone, if it isn't by a gun and they don't have a gun, they'll find
right.
another means. Like you
yep.
said, whether it's a bomb or a car, they
mm-hmm.
will do it. So, and besides, this fellow had a gun illegally. It was our government who did not do a proper background check, because theoretically he was not allowed to buy a gun because he had been institutionalized and he had a
mm-hmm.
record of domestic abuse. So he got that gun by mistake.
Yeah.
Had the proper background check been done, he would never have been sold that. And I believe in background checks. That's
mm-hmm.
very legitimate.
I agree too. You know, have you guys heard of? There's an old gospel song. They call it an old 100. It says, "I shall not be moved."
Oh yeah.
Just like
I know it.
Well, I thought about that, Barb, when you were talking about forgiveness and when people do something to you. there, and we go, I shall not be moved. You hurt my feelings yesterday, and I shall not be moved.
We will hold on to that.
If you said we get comfortable, you know, when there's, you know, in our unforgiveness, we get so comfortable.
We love our anger.
Yeah, and we will hold on to that. But what we don't realize and what we need to really tell people, if I can stay angry with you, you always will control me.
Absolutely.
That's right.
If I'm not angry with you, you can't control me. The sky's the limit. I can go wherever it is I want to go. And everything you guys have said has been so on point. I just hope people will listen and listen with the heart, not just the ears. Listen with the heart so that they can see what we're talking about, because I do believe we're all on one accord today with this anger, how it masks pain, and how pain, we need to work through that. And so everything you guys have said is so righteous, so on point. And that's something we need to really push, is get over the anger so that you can deal with the pain. Because you said, Barb, from what you said, Barb, we have to go through that pain in order to grow.
It's worth it. When, once we get to catch on to the fact it's healing, if we have pain from an abscess, I always like to use that, we go to a dentist. And, yeah, it may hurt. But better to go to the dentist and have it hurt than to lose your tooth and have a lot more pain afterwards. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right about the control. Whoever we're angry with lives in our head, morning, noon, and night. We're always thinking about that person. They are controlling us because they always have our attention by our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. That is so true. I try not to hold anything. You know, if you do something to me, I'll go ahead and, you know, kick a rock around outside or let a couple of tears fall and, you know, tell the Holy Ghost to keep me where I won't go where I used to go years ago, because, you know, I would really fight you years ago, but I can't go that place anymore. So God has taught me how to love, and I thank him for that.
Amen.
And I thank him for teaching me how to love even when people don't love me back.
Amen.
I went to get some breakfast for somebody this morning at IHOP, and I just have fun and try to show love everywhere I go, and they were piling up, and I was at the front of the line. So I turned around and I said, okay, for $10 a person, I'll let y'all get in front of me. Everybody, you know, laughed it off. And this one little old lady, she was in there with her husband. And she said, well, this is my husband right here. And, you know, I could tell from what she was saying. And I wanted to say, lady, I'm old. I don't want anything old like you was. But she just made some little tacky remark, and I just told her, oh, sweetie, I love you so much, and I hope you have a good day. But I will laugh with you. I'm not going to allow you to take me to a place that I haven't been in years. You know,
right.
I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
So if I had made, if everybody had given me $10 a day, I probably would have had like $200. But they didn't fall for it. As they were being seated, some lady wanted to charge me $25 because she got seated first. I said, I'm not trying to be seated. I'm getting my stuff to go. So, but anyway, we had a good. And you just have to warm up and be loving and show love everywhere you go.
Man.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you make me angry. I have too many other things to think about besides being angry. Mm-mm. And the pain that I feel, just make sure it's a stomachache or something like that. not going to be a pain of the heart. Nope, not going to let you do it. So, anybody, you got any, you guys, come on, talk to me.
Well, you know, and you'll hear me say some of the key things over and over again, I guess, because there's just so much a part of me. But, like, it is, as I look at this whole scene and everything, and I read about Bill O'Reilly getting $20 million to do what he does and then coming out with it, he's mad at God because they fired him. You know, there's just no message out there about the meaning of life. That's focused on, and I keep saying we've made such a mockery of it. You know, Kennedy said, "Not, don't ask what your country could do for you. Ask what you could do for your country." Well, we should do that when it comes to the Lord. God doesn't owe us; we owe everything to life. The purpose of life is to become conformed to His image, to give, you know, and to wind up in eternity. And you never hear about that because, you know, or they focus on the good life. And so when these people who are angry don't have the good life, don't have the admiration of the world, I mean, they're angry because, and it goes on and on and on. I guess I was very affected by, and I know I've said this a number of times, the Newtown, Connecticut shooting hit home because I lived just 10 minutes away from Newtown, Connecticut, and that's where I had a dream come true. I played Danny Boy, and I was discovered by a talent scout in Newtown, Connecticut, and that was always my dream, and that's why after the tragedy, I wrote a song to the tune of Danny Boy. But I think I have an article here about was the 20-year-old boy who shot those precious 20 kids and 6 faculty staff. And my heart, it just breaks, again, at the ignorance. It's like, you know, you hear Trump, he was pure evil and demons. They don't have a clue about spiritual warfare. So let me just, some of the sentences that jump out, and it will confirm, you know, some of what we've said. So the heading is, Adam Lanza was evil and would have killed me in a heartbeat, says his dad. Oh, this is what breaks my heart. I'm sorry. Adam Lanza, dad, says the boy would have killed him in a heartbeat and wishes his psycho mass murderer son had never been born. He wasn't born a killer. He was God's child. Okay. In a shocking new interview, Peter Lanza dubbed his gun-crazy boy evil for ruthlessly killing his mom before he left his house, 20 children, 6 staff members, and then himself at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14th. You can't get any more evil, he told the New Yorker. And then they, for some reason, said Peter Lanza reveals his own demons about his son. Of course, he hadn't seen his son, mind you, in 2 years. Okay? Then it goes on to say, now this is interesting. The father of the Sandy Hook killer searches for answers. All right? In his most extensive comments since the shooting, Peter Lanza described his struggle to comprehend the actions of his son. Interviews usually have a story they want to tell, but Peter Lanza came to these conversations as much to ask questions as to answer them. He just couldn't figure this out, okay? It's strange to live in a state of sustained incomprehension about what has become the most important fact about you. Adam Lanza was a terrorist for an unknowable cause who committed 3 distinct atrocities. He killed his mother, he killed himself, he killed children and adults he'd never met before. 2 of these acts are explicable, the third, incomprehensible. There are many crimes from which most people desist because we know right from wrong and are careful of the law. Most people would like to have things that belong to others. Many people have felt murderous rage. But the reason that almost no one shoots 20 random children isn't self-constraint. It's that there is no level at which the idea is attractive. Of course, this now is true of Devin Kelly, who killed. Now, listen to this. But for killing, I think Barb said this too, but for Adam, killing others and suicide were both crucial. The link seems clear. The more Adam hated himself, the more he hated everyone else. This is where it comes in. to let him know you have worth. Don't define yourself by what your peers do, anybody else. God loves you. Your worth is defined by him, okay? Now, Emily Durkheim, the great scholar of suicide, wrote that it can be not an act of despair, but of abnegation. Adam abnegated humanity with his act. Peter has searched the psychiatric literature on mass killers, trying to understand what happened to his son. And then he comes upon this psychiatrist who dubs people like Adam pseudo commandos, a preoccupation with weapons and war regalia makes up for a sense of impotence and failure. He wrote that we insist that mass killers are insane only to reassure ourselves that normal people are incapable of such evil. But then the bottom line is, well, I'll read this last one. Crimes of passion are relational, whereas plotted crimes such as Adam's are unsocial. But the dichotomy isn't clear-cut. Most crimes lie along a spectrum, so Sam's culmination, neither sudden nor entirely calculated, at least until the very end. But here it is. James Knoll, a forensic psychiatrist at SUNY, has written that Adam's act conveyed a message. I carry profound hurt.
Yes.
I'll go ballistic and transfer it onto you. That's as much motive as we're likely to find. And there it is. And had somebody, but he was being helped. He was getting in a relationship with a counselor, and he was responding to the counselor, but then the counselor left. You know, and here the father just saying he wished he was never born. Oh, Lord have mercy, you know.
But when you think about it, when they go to this extent to kill, and their hurt has just exploded inside of them, and you can just hurt for so long. People don't realize kids who are bullied, they reach a point where they explode. They can't take anymore.
That's right.
And we have to be watchful.
Yes.
I know the scripture said we must watch as well as pray.
Absolutely.
You have to watch who people put in your surroundings, who he put you in their space. He's putting you there either to receive something from them or they're going to receive it from you.
Yeah.
But he never puts you in a place for nothing. You always have a responsibility.
Yes, and Lois, and I'm just going to interject, because it's the Sandy Hook parents that have made such an issue of the gun control. If I only had the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that they have raised in the, you know, to get gun legislation, we could have a number of houses. But the thing is, Autumn Lanza was introduced to his gun by his mother. His mother got the gun. She passed the background check. There was no reason for her not to. And she went target shooting with her son. She's the one that introduced the gun to her son, and she left the gun where Adam could get it. And so many of these cases where kids shoot, it's the parent who leaves the gun where the kid can get at it. So they don't really have a leg to stand on, even in this case, because it wasn't a matter of Adam Lanza getting a gun because there was no gun legislation to stop him.
Anyway. And then standing somewhere, our parents are responsible for allowing us to be hurt. We need to be watchful of our children, where we put them, what we expose them to. Because children, you know, he can take it. He's just a child. He'll change. No, they can be hurt so horribly. You have to nurture a child through that hurt and bring him to a point where he can regain his place. And we don't always do that. And that's where that pain just, it gets so horrible inside of us until we can't contain ourselves anymore.
You know what we do with our children? In the old days, we used to sit and read and put our arms around and talk to them.
Yes.
What I see with this technology.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to scream inside.
Amen.
Now we let our children look at all kinds of video games.
That's right.
They play where there's nothing but violence and shooting.
That's
they
right.
become so used to
Amen.
This kind of thing. The movies they look at, absolutely incredible.
That's right.
We are teaching our kids and conditioning them for this
That's
by
right.
the very things that we let them look at.
That's right.
Then we buy them their own TVs and their own telephones, so now they're isolated in their rooms.
That's right.
And the family cohesion is totally gone, and they are lonely. And they are crying
right.
out to be noticed, and their anger is being channeled through these games that we think is
That's
innocent,
right.
and they're not innocent.
Absolutely.
There's
Amen.
A definite corollary between violence and these violent video games that kids
That's right.
look at.
It's been proven. Amen,
and,
Barbara.
And then we come along and say, as a father or a parent, I just don't understand how this happened.
I know.
You know,
that's tragic.
Not,
yes. They're being dehumanized with this modern technology. Yes, right
we're
on.
Our children. I can remember when I was a little girl, we used to look at a Western, you know, Gunsmoke and things like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Our parents sat
I
there.
Did too. Well,
I'm older. Let you know, this is television. This is entertainment. You know, you don't, you're not in Dodge City. You know, you're not, you can't go around with a gun strapped to you. And I can remember my dad had a 12-gauge shotgun. He sat in the corner all the time because we were in the country. I mean, when I say we were in the country, we were in the woods. So it might be anything that would walk up, and my daddy had a gun and a 12-gauge that stayed loaded all the time. We cleaned house. We would clean up. It was me and my nephew and my sister. Guess what? We didn't touch that gun. We didn't go nowhere near that gun.
Right.
Because parents sat down and told us, this is this, and if you get out of line, we got our butts to up. You know, my mom used to do all the whooping. My daddy would, all he used to do is tell me, didn't your mother tell you to do? And I'd cry for days and days. I was
Aww.
Spoiled. but still, you know, parents don't teach their children. They sit up and just yell at them.
That's
put
right.
that down, Johnny. You know.
That's
what,
right.
You don't even know what Johnny has in his hand. Go look.
You're
this
right.
is what we do. The scripture says, train up a child. It didn't say teach a child because a child has a little brain that's not even developed. What you going to teach him with? Train him. Just like you can train a dog to jump and roll over, train that child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And this is what we don't do anymore. Right now, your kid can go to school, slap another kid in the mouth. And if I did that when I was growing up, not only would the teacher paddle my butt, but somebody's mama would paddle me. Then when I got home, my mama would paddle me. If you do that now, some woman, the mama will meet you up there and blow your brains out.
Yeah, that's
the
truth.
What he wants to do. So, you know, you guys, this has been good. We've got like a minute left, but this has been so good. And I'm going
yeah.
to, after, I'm going to talk to you guys, if because you guys are more than welcome to host your own show. But I'll talk with you about that, Kay, and you can pass it on. But I'm just having a ball doing this. And thank everybody for being here in the studio with us tonight. And if you notice, the people in my studio are quiet. They listen. And we talk about it, though, when the show is over.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kay, thank you so much for being on board. And, Barb, thank you for being on board. And I really appreciate you more than you know. And if I haven't said it, you know you get loves and hugs just like Kay. She doesn't
I
get
know.
All of them.
I know.
I have some. But, anyway, I just enjoy everything that you guys do, and prayer this somebody else.
And we enjoy you.
I post it everywhere. So we just have a few seconds left. And with that said, I'm going to say, this is Let's Talk Truth, Block Talk Radio. This is Lois Bullock. And guess what? I'm loving you with the heart of God. And good
Amen.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.